You're listening to Booked, first broadcast on the 14th of November 2014, bringing you conversation and inspiration from your favourite authors, artists and creatives. Hello, I'm Tanya Brennan-Roper, and today we talk to actor Luke Treadway, the Laurence Olivier Best Actor Award winner in 2014 for his moving and beautiful portrayal of Christopher John Francis Boone in the stage adaptation of Mark Haddon's novel The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Luke was also the first actor on stage to play Albert at the phenomenally successful theatre production of War Horse, a novel published originally in 1982 by Michael Morpurgo. Luke has just completed his reading of the audiobook of War Horse, so I started by asking him how it felt to tackle another version of the book for audio this time, since it was a project so close to his heart. We also talked to him about his film debut while still being a young acting sprog in drama school, and go all sci-fi and discuss his poignant, harrowing performance as Barry Howe in the film The Brothers of the Head, adapted for the screen from the novel by sci-fi master Brian Aldiss. Ladies and gents, please let me welcome you, an actor who doesn't shy away from an emotionally challenging role and who manages to bring a gorgeous, chameleon-like sense of interpreting the lives of these interesting individuals in such an effortless way. It's the sublimely talented Luke Treadway.
By the way, I'll just say, I get really awkward and embarrassed talking about myself, so...
Right, well, that's the end of the interview.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. No, I'll be as normal as I can.
Okay, so yep. Question one.
Okay.
Should I introduce you first? That might be an idea.
If you want.
Just launch into the questions.
If
might be
want.
A bit weird.
However you want.
Luke Treadway, welcome to Booked.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show and talking to me about War Horse and various other projects that we're going to touch on. But I'd love to start with War Horse because you've literally just finished, about 5 minutes ago, the audiobook.
Yeah.
Unabridged,
yep.
Which is pretty heavy going. And a lot of accents were involved in that as well. Tell me about War Horse as a project, because I know it was something that's very... dear to your heart in lots of ways, because you did the Radio 2 radio play for the BBC.
Yep.
You were also the first Albert, which is quite a big achievement.
Well.
And you were the first to encounter the horse
in any shape or form.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was, I don't know about, I mean, it was certainly an honour and certainly a like delight to be asked to do it. And it's an amazing story, and Michael's words kind of come off the page so beautifully, I think.
I know you were saying that you met Michael
yeah,
in Devon.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, what's weird is because at the time it wasn't this like huge, phenomenally successful show. It was
no.
a piece of new writing which had been commissioned by the National Theatre to try and explore whether this book that Michael had written back in 1983 or
1982, yeah.
And that was a beautiful book, and they tried to see if it would work. So we spent 3 weeks doing a workshop for it at the National Theatre studio space, and it was before the horses were even finished being made, and we were just trying to get on its feet and see if we could tell this story, and people's hands on
sure.
people's shoulders imitating the sort of shape of a horse, and
which is lovely because it's very immersive.
Yeah, it was very like very low key and very sort of you know, before it became what it was. And then it was in 2007 where we did a 4 month run at the National, and you know, it sort of changed progressively over each preview. I think I've never done a show that's been so different from the first preview to the 10th, and then every night it was so different, and it became, you know, we managed to shape this thing. And I mean, it was amazing to do, and everyone who kind of came to see it seemed to enjoy it. So,
well, I think there's
yeah.
dry eye
no,
in the theatre every night, which
it's
is amazing.
It's a miraculous piece of theatre making, that's for sure, and that's why it's continued to do so well around the world. You know, the combination of the story and the score and the directing
puppetry
and the puppetry and,
yeah.
and the lighting and everything.
But seeing
about
that
it.
Horse, I mean, it is quite incredible.
Yeah,
recently,
yeah.
the Proms commissioned a piece
mm-hmm.
for the War Horse Prom, and you know, you don't get tired of seeing that horse. And I know that Michael
no.
described it really beautifully. It's like seeing an old friend.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which is
he's beautiful. It is beautiful. And you know, wherever you see him popping up all around the world.
Well, let's go back a bit. I just wanted to talk about, I know you graduated from Lambda 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whilst, I mean, you've had an amazing career in that 8 years. And one of them I'd love to touch on was Brothers of the Head. Which was your
My
debut
first
film.
Job? Yeah, straight. Well, I still at drama school actually between
yeah.
the first and second year. Yeah, my first audition. There was a yeah.
And, I mean, amazing book. I mean, obviously written by Brian Aldiss, and he describes it as he had a bad dream, and
yeah.
that's how it all kind of came about. And he was
yeah.
describing it to his family in a car driving
yeah.
back from his holiday. And he said, I had this dream about conjoined twins, and it was a very sort of frightening dream. And the idea about, you know, them becoming a punk band and Bang Bang, and beautifully written as well. And what's interesting about you is that you've also got your twin brother, Harry.
Yes.
To play that, you come from it from a very sort of unique standpoint, because even though their characters are fiction, it's something that I think is very interesting, because we can all kind of relate to it in lots of ways. You know, the idea of us all feeling slightly like we want to be our own person, identity, and also suffocation at the same time.
Yeah. I think so. I think he's a sci-fi writer, isn't he?
By trade, by
not of his work is.
Had you read the book before?
I read it before making the film, but no, I loved the book, and it, because he's got that sort of slightly, you know, I think it is meant to be a sort of allegory for people in general and for the world, and it sort of has got that slightly sci-fi element to it, and the boys sharing a kidney or a liver and a brain, or in this sort of third head growing inside them.
And yeah, it's very harrowing, but it's also incredibly beautiful.
It was so much fun to make. I mean, some dark stuff at times.
15-hour days and having to wear this sort of sewn suit.
Yeah. I found them the other day. I moved house recently and I found this bag that I must have moved 4 different houses in the last 10 years.
So you kept it.
And I started pulling the stuff out. I was like, what is this? It's like rock climbing harnesses and a wetsuit. I was like, oh, okay. And it was a wetsuit that had been sewn together. I was like, okay, that's that. I remember that being the first prototype. And then found this rock climbing harness that had been carabinered together.
Right.
So that was the kind of thing we used for about 4 weeks over the summer preparing for the film. And we would go running around the park in Queen's Park, just down the road. And then we'd run around there, or we'd
doing rehearsals cartwheels
together.
I mean, how on earth?
Yeah,
how long did that take to do?
Well, I don't think we practiced it much. I think that was like, should we just do one in the moment they're doing it? But I think because we'd spent all summer rehearsing with a band 3 or 4 times a week, and just, you know, pottering around the house, whatever it was doing, just strapped in this thing, so it became like fluid naturally to move together. And and then I found the one we used in the film, which was this sort of weird, like, I suppose sort of like Spanx, but a kind of body like thing.
Spanx,
which is like, yeah, with like a kind of flesh colored tight thing with clips that you could clip together that would wear under our body. Maybe this wasn't where you were going with the question, but here we go with practical information on how to conjoin yourself to someone.
I think it's exactly what I was saying.
And then, so I found all these and brought back bizarre memories.
There's a beautiful connection between you when you're watching you guys together.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly touching, and at times obviously very, very sad.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know how to, other than saying like it was an incredibly beautiful experience, and all those things that you felt like watching it was like that to do, and more. And you know, it was, I don't think I've felt since, you know, with any person I've worked with, such a connection and such a kind of freedom in the work of how I was doing it. And I don't know other than to say that was a beautiful experience, and one I was, you know, genuinely incredibly pleased and lucky to have got.
Well, it continues, really. You've done some wonderful films and plays and radio dramas, Late Bloomers, for example, with William Hurt and Isabella Rossellini. You've worked with some amazing actors, Pete Postlethwaite. Coming out of college and, you know, working with people like this, I mean, they're, you know, massive legends in their own rights.
I mean, you said Pete Postlethwaite. I remember I was only in the same film as him in Clash of the Titans, but and actually another film with him, but never shared a scene, unfortunately. But two films, and Clash of the Titans, I sat down with him and at the read-through, and we were sat next to each other, and I just, you know, it was just really kind of nice to sit down and him to just be really normal and chat and say, you know, I think he said he was feeling nervous and how he hated these things, and I thought, yeah, that's exactly how I'm feeling. This is my first time around a table with, you know, camcorders recording it, and you're just thinking, huge studio film.
Yeah.
Someone's probably going to be fired after the read-through. Hope I don't mess it up.
Do you ever feel like that when you're in the read-through?
Yeah, I think every time.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. I think genuinely, like, sometimes they are really casual kind of things. And in theatre, you know, you'll sit around in a circle in the rehearsal room with a cup of tea, and it's all quite safe and lovely. And you know you're there for 5 weeks but to rehearse it. But, you know, sometimes for TV and for film, yeah, it can be a big deal, the sort of sit-down read. As you say, yeah, been very lucky to work with kind of some amazing actors and directors, and, you know, some of them more than once as well, I think, which is really lovely to be able to then, you know that you're working with someone that you've had that experience with before and trust and feel really safe with. And yeah, I'm really lucky.
And then also to touch on a really wonderful part that I've seen you play, which was Curious Instant, The Dog in the Nighttime.
Yeah, Chrissy Boone.
What a part. It seems like you like to be challenged quite a lot with the roles that you take on. I think that's probably fair to say. Again, an incredibly immersive part. and back into a home actually that you recognise. I think the National Theatre is a place that you seem very comfortable in and a lovely place to work.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever feel like there were misgivings, I think, when you were sort of approached to take to play the part of Christopher?
Any misgivings in terms of doing it? Or
just apprehension?
Honestly, no, because again, it was a sort of weird thing where I'd come to the end of a road trip about 4 years ago around America with my girlfriend, and we had arrived into New York and we were looking for somewhere to stay. And I called Marianne because I knew she was opening
Marianne Elliott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was opening Warhorse about 4 days later.
Director
of Warhorse and director of Curious Incident.
Yes.
And she said, yep, I've got a place to stay, come and stay. So we were staying in this lovely apartment near Central Park. And I think one night me and Marianne were having a glass of wine and we were just sort of chatting away and, you know, sort of saying what else, you know, maybe we could do something again sometime. And she had a little think and then said, well, I'm doing this thing in about 6 months' time, which is Simon Stevens' adapting Curious Incident. And I remember everyone had said to me about how amazing this book was, but I'd never read it. And I just said, yes, I'd love to, because she said that Frantic Assembly were doing the movement for it. And I was like, oh, so all these things. Oh, yeah, amazing. That sounds like a dream project. But she said to me, you know, I don't know if you'll be able to actually do it because the boy's 15. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure. You know, it'd be cool just to lovely do a workshop for a week and work with Frantic Assembly and Simon and her. And then, of course, 6 months later, brilliant, I haven't got a job. It's great, I'm free, I can do it. And so, you know, did the week's workshop and shaved upwards every morning, no product in the hair, tracksuits, T-shirt, looking as young as possible, pretending to myself.
You managed to nail it.
Pretending to myself that, like, I wasn't there to try and get the part. You know, it was just there to sort of humbly serve the process of the workshop. But secretly outside with having a cigarette with the stage manager, and you know, on day two I'd be going, what do you reckon, Jane? Because I knew her from Warhorse. What do you reckon, Jane? Is that I could look young enough? And she's like, yeah, Luke, yeah, I think you could. And Marianne and Simon, I think, oh, I came into the rehearsal room Thursday lunchtime and it was just Marianne in there, and I walked in and she said, me and Simon would love you to do it. And I just remember just being, because I mean, you know, 4 days in, or like half an hour in, basically the read through in, it was like you knew this thing was going to be
really
ridiculously
powerful.
Amazing. And then as soon as you'd done 4 days with Frantic Assembly working out incredibly ingenious ways in which to sort of convey Christopher coming into a house and outlining shapes of a...
Well, it's just the freedom of movement on stage as well.
It's just completely glorious in every way to do and to watch and to... And I just think it's so effective and, I love it so much. And so, you know, to be asked to do it then, it was the best moment ever. And from then on, I don't know, just sort of spent time learning prime numbers in the coming months and, you know, getting pretty much off book before we started, because it was lots of words. And then, just the rehearsal period was intense and amazing and full of physical exercise every morning, just like boot camp for 4 weeks.
But there are some things that I've seen. I mean, even they looked quite sort of strenuous. I mean, even with a piece of chalk and drawing a circle around the stage, I was like, my God, that's a perfect circle. That must have been pretty hard on the knees. There's some pretty intense things.
You could do that. I mean, you know, it's hard on the knees. I suffered a lot of pain in my knees that first run at the National, I think, without knee pads. And, it's hard on the body. And, you know, I was 28 and 29 or whatever at the times when I was doing it. And, I mean, if you can't push yourself then to do, like, stuff, what are you here for? And so, you know, it was throughout all of the kind of moments of it being sore and having to have hot baths and all that, you know, it was just amazing to do it.
Well, what I do love about the book is, and also Mark Haddon sort of said this very poignantly, is that it's not a book about disability, it's a book about difference, which was something that really sort of stuck with me. And it's not really ever stated in the book about the fact that he may have autism, he may have Asperger's.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So it's obviously, it's not just about learning difficulties, it's about family and love and all those other aspects to life that we all encounter. So
yeah, it just happens to be that Christopher has... As he says, I think, behavioural problems, and I think, you know, he lists some of them, including the fact that he doesn't like yellow and he doesn't like his food touching, things like he doesn't like being touched and he finds it hard to read facial expressions, and, you know, so it's there for the reader to sort of put together, really, which I think is nice.
Future projects, I'd love to ask you about that.
At Christmas time, Unbroken, a film directed by Angelina Jolie and based on a book by Laura Hillenbrand, who wrote Seabiscuit as well. Unbroken is a true story of Louis Zamperini, who was the American athlete who ran in the 36 Berlin Olympics and then got taken off to war and crashed his plane in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and got picked up by the Japanese merchant navy and taken to a prisoner of war camp in Japan and then survived 2 years there. and then has passed away only 6 months ago, I think, or less. Yeah. So he was just absolutely an incredible man.
And you're
the
playing...
story was amazing. I'm playing Miller, who is a British officer at the prisoner of war camps. So when Louis's character arrives at the prisoner of war camps, you sort of meet some of the other people who have been there and stay with him through the rest of the war. And yeah, I'm really excited to see that. So that's coming out at Christmas time. And then in January, Fortitude is a new TV series for Sky Atlantic, which is a 13-part drama, but it's quite dark and quite, yeah, it's very, very different, very original, I think. And it's set in a northern Arctic island like Svalbard, and where there's a sort of safe mining community that no crimes ever happened until the end of the first episode, where I'm arrested over the body of someone, and
right.
It sort of, yeah, it goes very weird, and you don't know what's going on. But it's so that's coming out in January. And then I just finished filming the Hollow Crown series, the new Hollow Crown with Richard III, with Benedict Cumberbatch playing Richard III.
Wonderful.
So I was on that for a few weeks, playing Richmond at the end of that episode.
And pretty busy.
Yeah.
Pretty
so then, busy, yeah, that's what I've got stuff. Coming up. And now I'm off job hunting now. So, you know. Yeah,
right. Well,
I'm
I've got one. Let's discuss after this.
Yeah, great. Let's
well,
do it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
No, pleasure.
And
thanks.
Bravo.
All right,
well
mate. Nice one.
Thank you for listening to Booked. We are delighted that you are back with us once again. If you'd like to look at the archives of Booked and HarperCollins Presents and Harper Audio Presents, which is our US equivalent over in the States, we would love you to join onto HarperCollins Presents on Twitter, and also check us out on SoundCloud at HarperCollins Presents. We also have the Booked podcast and Writer's Envy, which is a short form podcast where we ask authors, what's the book you wished you'd written and why? We're also available on YouTube, so if you fancy watching some films instead of listening to some podcasts, you can. And we talk to various authors about the books that they write, their passions, and everything else that drives them forward to create the next best novel. Cheers, and for now, I bid you farewell.